Secrets within the singing trees.
Or even secrets of the singing trees.
I think you've got essentially the thrust of it. Secret singing trees. These are the three very important words, and you absolutely got them.
Honestly, I like that. We're good.
All right, that leaves my world next and last. And I have ideas. So what is different is that I'm changing communication connects 2 points. So it's not that communication connects 2 points, it's that communication creates a new point. And so it's sort of like this place that you go to talk. So it's like you're creating the space that isn't just, it's neither place that started the communication. It is a new space. That's kind of the whole idea there. Does anyone feel
please
like
say
they,
more?
Please say more. Okay. Yeah, I'm imagining it sort of as I don't want to be like pocket dimension because I don't want to like shoehorn us or so I don't want to shoehorn that in. I don't want to like corner us into that idea. But like that is how I'm in this moment imagining it, where it's like, yes, these two people are now in this pocket dimension where they can talk to each other. And it's like this. It almost turns this long distance, like long distance communication becomes not long distance in a way that is like conceptually different. Like we talking to each other, we're doing long distance, but it's like the distance is negligible in terms of our communication. Whereas this sort of it means long distance communication is almost this different method of closing the gap.
So would it be accurate to say that like to engage in long distance communication, both or multiple parties physically occupy a new space? And so
yes,
you don't
asterisk physically.
Yeah. Like
is it physically? I don't know. But also what does physicality mean in this? I think that is what I'm trying to like leave open is like,
but you're not drawing a line between
exactly.
Two parties. You're moving two parties into a third
a new
location.
Space. Yeah.
VR chat.
And I think I'm going to leave it at that. Like there's a lot that can be said, but I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
And you know, does this make sense to everybody?
It does.
I think so.
Can I ask you a clarifying question?
Is it something you don't understand?
Yes. I just want to make sure I'm understanding
okay.
it correctly. So it's people in the space, right? It's people are transported
yeah.
to a new space.
Transported? Well, I'm actually going to remove those
okay.
words.
Yeah, take that away.
I don't know.
In.
I don't know if it's transported. I don't know if it, you know.
Okay. Mm.
I think it's just there is a new space that isn't the original space that any of the parties were at before.
Okay.
Third
but
spaces.
They
you know?
Exist in
we
that
need
space.
More third spaces.
Right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What's the same? If you're okay to move on.
Is there like a sticking point that is like, okay. I just want to make sure
mostly
you feel
you
like you can
really,
add on.
Left it really, really open.
Yep.
And I think it's on purpose.
Yep.
But it does mean
yes.
that there's not a lot of specificity right now. And that is fine.
Yeah. Okay. I'm keeping senders and receivers cause delay. So there's still this like, you know, you're still interacting with each other and like people might be thinking or people might be like interpreting what is being said. But there's nothing about the space that inherently like enables or like removes the delay in communication. It's not special is what I'm saying
mm-hmm.
In that specific regard.
In the notes, I'm going to refer to this space
more?
As a third space, but you know, we'll create something.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
Third space does have a different meaning, but you know,
I know
it's a different world.
I know.
The last one is that long distance communication often requires active facilitation, manufactured equipment. So I do think there is some device of some sort that is required in order to be a part of this. I am imagining, and this doesn't have to be it specifically, but I'm almost imagining, like, we were talking about not portals before. Now I'm imagining like a portal machine that you step in, but it's not a portal to any place. It's a portal to the place, you know, the place,
the communication there. Space,
the communication space. And it's almost like ring, ring, hello. Oh yeah, the portal's on. Okay. Let me go over to my portal. I keep using the word portal, but I think what I'm trying to communicate is the equipment required is not a little cell phone. It is a piece of hefty technology.
Slip into this submission tank.
Yeah, slip into your submission tank.
Hey, that's a detail.
That's exactly it.
Let's go. we're cooking.
Yeah, sensory deprivation tank. Holy shit! I said the wrong thing.
No, too late. No, I think you said okay. The right thing.
Let's go.
You didn't, but I like it. Yeah, slip into your submission tank. Okay.
Does that imply the existence of domination tank?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to go there, but yes. Okay, I'm going to leave the images to other people this time. What I'm imagining it looking like is a little bit more futuristic-y. Do think like highways are... Like, there's the specific image I have of, like, another world that I've described before where, like, you can't easily get onto roads because they are blocked off because all transportation is automated and going at, like, 400 kilometers an hour. And so getting onto a road is literally a dangerous idea. Like, that kind of sci-fi where it's, like, mundane. So there's still, like, buildings and work and whatnot. But automation has taken off in a way where I think transport looks different, and what transport once looked like is now isolated to machines. I also think maybe there are, if not on the brink of, I think this could be, I wanted to say the word chrome dome, but that's not quite it. Also, it doesn't mean anything. I'm imagining robots, but I don't just want to say there are robots. And by robots, I mean like sentience.
If you won't say it, I will. I'm kidding. You were saying,
yeah, how dare you?
You're saying maybe they're maybe on the brink of, and then you didn't finish the thought. Do you remember
that was going to be like creating sentient robots. Gotcha. Or like creating sentient life, like a manufactured, maybe it's not even like robots, but just like, there is on the brink of a synthetic life form.
Okay.
Flashes of Nier and Signalis.
I don't know what you're talking about. Nier has never inspired me at any time ever.
Near, far, wherever you are.
Okay. I mean, I do personally think Signalis did a more interesting job with it, but...
This sounds off tangent to me. Let's go!
Fair
with
enough.
The frizz? No way. I'll find photos unless others found photos already.
I'm looking and I'm not finding what I'm looking for.
Whoever wants to go next can go next.
I have something if people are all right. Something is different. Speed of transmission is limited by the speed of light. That is not when in this space, transmission between, like within that space is as if that, I mean, that space is real and tangible. And so communication across great distances is facilitated by this space in a way that it is no longer limited by the speed of light between the two initial distances.
So it's instantaneous because it's occurring at the same point.
Yeah, like it's near instantaneous across the great distance, you know, because it is taking place in this additional space where the only meaningful delay is from the senders and receivers, the communicators in question.
Great equals zero because it is... simply at the same point. Yep, got it.
Yeah, it is in the same shared space. And so information can travel faster than the speed of light. And let's not think about if that breaks causality.
So does that mean instantiation of that space is instantaneous as well?
Okay. Yeah, I would say that the creation of the space and the shared occupation of the space is instantaneous or near instantaneous.
Okay.
There is no delay. And so no matter how far away people are, like if we have planet-faring civilization, for example, communication that would take us 15 minutes by laser would be milliseconds in this space.
Sorry, so you said milliseconds. So is there a bound? It's just much smaller?
I mean,
or I guess limited by something?
The only measurable delay would be like the delay of cognition between the sender and the receiver.
Got it.
So whether or not there is some delay in physics in this space,
right.
I'm not weighing in on one way or the other. It's just across distances facilitated mm-hmm. by this space, speed of light is no longer a limiting factor. Within
Got
that
it.
Space...
There is no limiting factor.
Maybe,
it's not like 100 times the speed of light. Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
well, like within the space, I'm not really weighing in. I'm not trying to decide the physics of this additional space. It's more that this space subverts the requirements of traditional physics in the you know initial world, the primary space. So when people go into this space, I don't know what the speed of transmission is within it, but without like outside of it, space is not an object. Distance is irrelevant. You could communicate with someone across the world or on another planet or in another galaxy at the same speed.
I'll go. Okay, so I'm going to...
You're going, Lou.
I'm going. I'm yelling timber.
You're going ghost.
I think I'm going to change. Access to long distance is easier than ever. Or change. I'll say what is different about it. This type of long distance communication, highly sought after, but it does require a bit of personal sacrifice in some way. And that is... an implant of some kind, let's say a brain implant or something that interfaces with your brain.
Interfaces.
And I'm imagining that this type of communication is very, while it seems to be really tapped into something physics based, I want to ground it in a bit of like technological. Like, in order to enter this space, you do need to kind of maybe sublimate yourself in some way or another, or perhaps enter, like, this implant helps you enter a fugue state in which you can access this space, whether you're going there physically or just, like, you kind of become absent and your mind enters this space and then you have an avatar or something. But I want to leave it short and sweet to allow other people to build on it. That you have to get an implant, and this implant maybe makes things harder in your day-to-day life or over the long term or however, or has cumulative effects the more you use it, maybe. Would people prefer some more details?
Yes.
Or is that sufficient? More details? Okay. The more you use this implant to participate in this type of communication, there are maybe deficits in short distance communication and person to person communication, not by any like dramatic effects, but say someone who's like an operator or something who does this all the time may slowly become less communicative in their day to day life or become completely absent and only exist in the third space. And if that feels a little too dystopian for something that is so pervasive in a society, then I would be open to this being described further when someone else adds detail, if that isn't against the mm-hmm. kind of structure of the game. Because I don't want it to just be negative. It could just be like evolution or something like that as well, rather than just something deleterious on somebody. So yeah, I think that's all for me.
All right, Rally.
I don't think extreme weather can interfere with long distance communication. And I don't think anything can, because when you are in this space beyond space where you're connecting with someone else, which we still haven't established. Is it a digital space? Is it just your brain? Or is it, sorry, not your brain, is it just your consciousness? Or is it you physically in that space?
We have not established that.
No, we haven't. And I kind of love the idea that, without even answering that, right? Like, let's say that you are physically transported to this other space. You've zopped out of wherever you were before. You're now here. I love the idea of the pocket dimension, as it was mentioned, but in the sense of, like, you pause everything else to enter into this state. Because, like, what happens if the point of transmission is interrupted? You know, are you just stuck in this space beyond space? Are you able to transfer through it? Like, is this a space that can be traversed and it's not just a connection? Because that also has larger implications, right? It also makes sense if there are deleterious effects for that to be something that's limited. But I do like the idea that once you're connected and you've entered into this, like, space, you're there. Whether that means that if you're, like, in an earthquake and the place that you're transmitting from is destroyed, now you're stuck in third space, which I don't want to use, but we'll just refer to it as that.
Palm space.
You're stuck there. Or you can go to the next space, to wherever you connected with, right? Like, is this a...
Does that then become a means of transportation, though?
Yes. But if it is primarily used as communication, is there a reason that people don't use it as transportation? Does this have to do with that deleterious effect that Liu hit on? Because I think, like, one of the things that can happen over time with blurring the lines between real and artificial is you begin to lose touch with reality. But what if it's, like, more physical than that? So if you're a sleepwalker, let's say, you've connected between two points, and you no longer know what is that third space or what is actual space, except for the people that are walking through it. It's hard to put into words. I don't need to get into that right now. I just like the idea that, like, once connected, the people that are connected remain connected until they disconnect. And that's something they have to initiate.
I think I have a detail that doesn't contradict that and continues. But keep going until you're done.
Yeah. Because it also is like, what if this becomes a prison for someone? Like, what if it's something that becomes, like, a safe house? What if there's just a lot of aspects to it? If they're physically in that space, it has one side of the equation. And if it's just consciousness, there's another side of the equation, right? So I just like opening that up as a direct thing we have to address.
Yeah, I want to address it. I have, I think, an answer.
All right, Cam.
So going into adding detail, I think it is just consciousness that goes into this space, but it is the whole of oneself. And so if the body is destroyed or the connection is somehow broken, there is this being kind of stranded in this space that is real, but not necessarily material. And getting out when in there would then be like continual communication from it to another side or to another exit point. So in that way, it is not exactly transportation, but if we're getting to the point of artificial persons, there could be like bodies that are occupied. And I think this is kind of getting into, I never watched, but like Altered Carbon, I think, touches on something kind of like this.
Oh,
but,
yeah. I never finished that either.
I never even started it. I just heard about it. But the cost of doing so would be like a connectedness to the body, that there is this continual transmission, and whatever the cost of that is. So one cannot just use it to go somewhere else easily, but being trapped is not indefinite or eternal.
So you believe in the soul.
Do I? The person?
No, in the context, you're saying that there's a unique consciousness. Well, and I'm just joking.
Whether or not there's a soul, yeah. Like, a person's thought processes are present in this space, and it may be like sort of material, and it's facilitated by this. But if it's there, it's not in what perpetuates it when it's gone. Like if a body is destroyed, that's an open question.
Yep.
Is it a soul? I'm sure there are some people who say yes. Some people may say no. It's like a copy of a person that's like replicating based on the machinery that read it. Like, mm-hmm. there are different ways that one could read it. And is it a true person? Is it a copy? Could one use it to make copies of a person? Open questions.
Mm-hmm. I'm just joking, because like if you were to remove someone who's already connected, then you've got like the question of, are they inside their body or are they inside that space? And I think we've just answered they're inside the space until they reconnect with the body, which is pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Like getting out of that space, if one is trapped there, getting out is difficult and not strictly permanent, but can be permanent enough and could even be used as a way of like long distance tourism. You know, just go in a simple robot body so you can walk around, see things, smell things, and hear things, and then just go home, and you don't have to actually travel anywhere.
I feel satisfied.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
I think to build off of Lou's from last time, I think your sense of self is part of what degrades as well, because it opens up that theological, or sorry, that theological, but also like philosophical,
spiritual,
more generally. Question of like, am I truly being just my consciousness? Is my consciousness what is sent between things? And I think like the more that you engage in it, the easier it is to fall into delusions where if a body dies, is the spirit then trapped in this? Or if the spirit inhabits another body, is that body you, or is that just like an instance of you? And I don't think that there's an answer per se, but I think it is the sense of self which suffers over time. And maybe that's like, I mean, I don't want to get into the idea of like, oh, you're inhabiting someone else's body, so you have the memories. But I do think it's like, at a certain point in time, if your mind begins to cope with wherever it is and whatever form it's in, and that begins to feel more real than what was original. And I think that's like a known risk. And some people lean into it and some don't. But I really like the idea that the cost is physiological, in that your brain is altered. Not just like the way in which you think is what's altered, which has a physiological aspect to it.
I have a detail if we feel like this is complete.
Good for me.
Okay. Yeah,
I think it also like answers the question as to like, it might be pervasive. It might be something where like it requires those big, as Claire was saying, it's not something that's like a cell phone. And there's a reason that people might use other forms of communication over it. Go for it. Hot potato.
Mine is very simple. I think there is a growing faction of individuals who believe that removing yourself from your original body creates superior long distance communication techniques, and so want more people to voluntarily disconnect.
Ooh, voluntary disconnection. Ooh. I love it.
Clarifying question. Voluntary disconnection in terms of leaving their bodies behind, or voluntary disconnection?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is kind of like a cult thing. Got it.
They're just a growing faction of like-minded individuals, please.
Sorry, you're right. I shouldn't use the C word.
And do you mean permanently leaving, or just spending a lot of time?
That seems down to the individual, but I think the core thesis is your original body is restricting you.
Okay, so it's less about them facilitating communication, more about being interconnected in that space. Because the way that you originally phrased it was like to make communication easier, which I didn't know if you meant for each other, for them, or for some other like in service.
For everybody.
Okay, so like as an operator.
It's just the belief that you just communicate better if you give up your body.
Cool.
You're just better at it. Don't worry about it.
I've never been worried about it. Anyways.
Ready? Anything else, Claire?
I feel good.
All right. I've got my detail. So for those that, as we talked about, there can accidents can happen while you're in long distance communication and your body can be destroyed, but there is some kind of entity that remains in the third space that is reflective of what used to occupy that body. So in some of those cases, they export that entity into a robot of some kind that can walk around in the world. But what's strange is some of these people, or when these people inhabit an automated being, they'll enter when they re-enter a space, there is a second entity there, which I'm implying is, you know, which is the consciousness inside the robot that they've been implanted into. It's almost like they now share a body with the robot's consciousness. And some people meld enough that they can communicate outside of those spaces, like in day-to-day life. And some can only, you know, communicate with it when they're in the third space. And I'm almost thinking of, like, you know, in Star Trek, what are they called? The people that live in like a symbiotic relationship where they'll like be implanted into someone else and then they just kind of meld and become one person, but they do like share memories and things like that.
The Gorpal Blorbs.
Yeah, that's the one.
Sorry. Star Trek is
not my area of expertise, no, unfortunately.
But I'm getting what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right, the Trill. Yeah, okay. Doesn't matter though. Like there's like a symbiotic thing that occurs when individuals have to be kind of, or want to be back in the real world outside of the space. Some kind of ghost in the machine type thing going on.
Oh yeah.
Is that contradictory to anything, or do people feel all right with that?
I feel like that builds off of things in a meaningful way, especially in the sense of like losing a sense of self, right?
Okay. And I don't want it to seem too dark. It's not like it's a malicious kind of entity or anything either.
Giving
like,
up your body is great.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I'm like half saying that jokingly because I can imagine in the world it's like, you know, it is probably divided. Anyways. But
yeah, so like essentially people can voluntarily coexist in a shared form and to some degree meld. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the implications are both positive and negative.
Yeah.
Name the world.
Name the world.
Sorry.
It's a real shame Ghost in the Shell's already been taken.
I know, right? I'm just like...
Shell for the ghost.
This world feels the most in direct dialogue with pieces of science fiction I've actually, like, I know about. Mm-hmm. Which is neat.
Claire, is that what you typed? Unsevered communication?
Literally the first thing that came to my mind.
Was that kind of the seed of, like, I almost want to try to go back to the root of this idea, which was about, you know, the joining of, oh, hell yeah. I don't know what that is. Luminophrenia.
I mean, it's liminal plus phrenia.
I mean, that does work.
I'm good with that.
Perfect.
All right. We're going to do one thing. First, I'm going to read the ending the game page of the book officially, but then we have some additional steps that we're going to need to do. Ending the game. After each player has made a world about your topic, your game is done. Congratulations! In just a few hours, you've created things together that never existed before. You've brought something new into the world. Maybe you still have questions about these worlds or things you are burning to add, or maybe you're already scheming how to delve into these ideas more in another game, a story, or just in your daydreams. Ultimately, each of us will walk away with different facets of these worlds stuck in our brains. We won't all be interested in the same things, and that's okay. The thoughts you take away with you are what's important. And maybe exploring these ideas together will inspire each of us to look at the world around us a little differently. And what we're going to do is stick with these a little longer, because we are going to be using this as a session zero. And what the session zero in the book originally says is going and picking the pieces of the worlds that we like the most and sort of picking a world. What I'm asking is, if we can we divide these worlds two and two and see if we can't melt them and create two unique worlds, both of which will be relevant in our game?
I think
combining these is very hard.
How about this? Are there two primaries to base off of. What world sticks with people the most?
I personally like worlds 2 and 3, I think. That is Spirit of the Storm and Secrets of the Singing Trees.
Mm-hmm. I am partial to 2 and 3 as well.
I agree, but also I feel like World 1 could potentially be melded into, I don't know, I feel like it could be melded into one of the others if that is helpful, because it seems like, you know, maybe not. That would require a little more thinking, but that's just like something I feel like it could.
One has a lot of social trappings that might be more shiftable.
I feel like, in terms, like, if we remove the mechanics of one, and we think about, like, the treatment of, like, loons as being, like, where those trees are as well, that kind of blends a bit. Yeah, I think I can kind of see what you're talking about, yeah.
I think I see it.
But that's just a thought. I feel like it, like, again, social trappings and things like that, it would create a very divided world, which could be difficult to portray or interesting to portray. Maybe a dichotomy of like the people who use wired communication, you know, quote unquote wired, but loomed communication versus wireless or.
Oh my God.
Completely defying our conceptions of physics as we know them, etc.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is worlds 2 and 3 are our base, and there's interest in world 1.
The idea of 2 and 3 melding together is like Songs in the Storm, right? So if we're taking like an aspect of communication being music, and then these storms interfering with it, pulling like a language or a voice that you don't hear on your own, like that. I think those could blend very well together. I think it has like an aspect of mystery that comes into this technology that's organic.
2 and 3 do have some fundamental incompatibilities in what was declared, which could potentially be navigated, but like mm-hmm. one of the core rules in one of them is that communication is interceptible, and then the other it is that it is not.
Mm-hmm.
So that does create some difficulty in melding 2 and 3 together.
Yeah, I mean, we'd have to reconcile mm-hmm. that aspect, but I think in terms of like, I don't know, the spirit of it feels compatible in a way.
I actually think for the sake of the game, let me as GM worry about incompatibilities. Mm-hmm. And if worlds 2 and 3 are what speak to all of you, then we can use those.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, I like them all, but I like 2 and I like 3 a lot.
Yeah.
They both have, I like 1, they're all good. They are all good, but
one last thing.
Storms of 2 and the Songs of the Trees in 3 both really, really jump out as something profound and special to me. They latch into my brain and don't let go.
This is more of a just like a thought, but that World 4 is to me the most quote unquote futuristic of them all. And just a consideration I want to like say is like, maybe we're not going to introduce all the worlds at the same time or all the worlds in general, but I feel like there's opportunity for World 4 to manifest at a later time. Or is that too wild? Or just not quite within the scope?
Oh, Lou, you give me such things to work with. You give me so many problems to introduce into the world.
A problem?
Lou says, why kill your darlings? Why not just patchwork them together in a way that makes them all fun and compatible?
Because, like, could you imagine, you know, not like mashing the two worlds together, but one world becoming the next one?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like imagining, like, you know, I love thinking about planetary collapse. You know, that's my favorite thing to consider, but anyways,
mm-hmm.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay. I have an idea. I have two more things. First is we have two worlds. Actual worlds, things like planets. What are they called? I have some suggestions that are, you know, somewhat silly, somewhat like jumping off points, but is anything jumping out to people? There might be other planets, but these are the ones we want to focus on.
Mm-hmm.
Would it help if I read some random names that I wrote down?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pairs I wrote are Opulus and Aquitus, Rise and Fall, and then I kind of just have a list of Hethys, Rain, Eus, and Shine.
How is Eus spelled?
E-U-S-E.
E-U-S-E. Mm. How about for the tree world? Oh, Sonora's already a thing. Never mind.
I mean, that's fine, right?
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Wouldn't and be the first time sci-fi took a name from somewhere else.
Yeah, and it's a free and sovereign state in Mexico also.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, isn't there like the Sonora Desert or something? Because I was thinking, so pretty much I was thinking of the roots sonorous. Mm-hmm. As in music. Mm-hmm. So we could take that some other direction rather than just Sonora. It could be like...
Sonaru.
Sonaru works.
Sonateria? Because Terra?
Or even Sonaterra. Mm-hmm. Sonaterra. It's very by the numbers, but
yeah,
that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah.
I kind of like Sonaru.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of pseudo-Latin feeling with the U at the end.
Another name may be complimentary, maybe... it purposefully non-complimentary to this. Phonium. Sorry, I'm just reminded of the word phonium.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
That's why.
Well, you know what, actually, phonium. Phonium and Sonaru. Sonaru and phonium. Phonium and Sonaru.
Euphonium.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
It's because I was thinking like mycelium. Euphonium, yeah. That's good.
Is that what you were recommending, Cam?
No, I was thinking about how like a euphonium is an instrument.
That kind of works, yeah. Though.
A euphonium is a brass instrument, kind
yeah,
of like a small
used
to tuba.
Play the euphonium. Anyway.
Yeah, so that was all I could think when I heard phonium was euphonium.
Mm-hmm. Phoneer?
Yeah, like phoneer. I don't know.
Phoneer?
Yeah. I'm not
like
quite.
Phone ear.
Damn it. Oh shit, no
car door hand hook,
yeah. Hand hook car door
phone ear.
No, you know when you try to go so far away you just like end up right back at the beginning. Goodness,
is it aphonia? How would you say that, Rally?
It could be aphonia. It could be aphonia.
Aphonia. What was the other way you said it as?
Ophonia, because A-U-O.
Ophonia.
But spelled A-U.
Ophonia and Sonaru. Ophonia and Sonaru. Sonaru and ophonia.
Because they both ending with vowels feels good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that's also...
sounds good to me.
Romance languages and brain.
I will end us off with pitching what I think the season's name could be.
Springle Bops.
Yes, you. Wow, how did you nail it in one?
Sorry,
rally?
I was pointing at Mugen.
You're right, it was Mugen. We're naming the season Mugen. No. Here's my pitch for the name. My pitch is Kilo Anum Orbit. We'll be right back.